Hey, this is Tom.
And this is Gavin, and you're listening to Keep It Simple. Keep It Simple is a podcast devoted to exploring life with Christ through simple, organic expressions of the church. Hey, welcome to Keep It Simple Podcast. I'm Gavin Durson.
Hey, I'm Tom LeCompte, and I'm terrified because I don't have a clue what Gavin's going to bring up as a topic today.
Well, a couple weeks ago, we talked about the Simple Church Conference, and we were sharing some things that we talked about. Here's something I want to throw out to you today, It falls in line with some of the things I've been wrestling with just in my own faith, and what does it mean to live on this side of the cross? What does it mean to live post-cross, you know? And one of the things we discussed at the conference was that, I think there was a gentleman named Jeff Fields that was there who actually did a podcast with him on here a while back. You can go back and listen to it. If you'd like, with Jeff Fields.
About a year ago, I think.
Yeah, it was maybe a year ago. He wrote a book. But do we really appreciate the work of the cross? Do we kind of live with one foot on the side of the cross, before the cross, and one foot on the other side of the cross, you know? And what I mean by that is, you know, a lot of times, like, how much rule keeping is God really interested in? And we would all say that, you know, God loves us, and there's freedom in Christ. And when we're grounded in His identity, you know, it's not a system of rules and regulations. I mean, these are all things that most any Protestant Christian church would say, but I'm not so sure that we really believe it, you know, because what I've found in my own life is that even though I might even say, well, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, love your neighbor yourself. Like, I might say, well, there's just those two rules. I mean, I'm still saying there are two rules, but then in my own mind, I might even make up 10 other subsets of what I really think it means to love God with all your heart, and I really need to be doing this, and other people should be doing that. And if they're not, then maybe they don't love God. So then you end up kind of creating this scenario that Jeff talked about on the podcast where, you know, we're like the Galatians who came to know Christ through grace, but now we've adopted this system of rules and regulations, and we somehow believe that we're going to perfect that, where our faith, through keeping a law, you know. And none of us would say, oh, we follow the Old Testament law, but we kind of make up our own laws, and different people have different ideas of what it really means to live and to live for God, be a good Christian, so to speak. So I want to talk about that today a little bit, and I think it really relates to this journey that we're on here in Simple Church, because I can say this, like, we talked, I think, in the last podcast about balance. You know, there is a, I'm still wrestling through this, but I know this, I do not want to be a part of creating house churches or simple churches or encouraging people to have house churches that simply end up creating a new sets of rules of what church is supposed to be, mm-hmm. what Christians are supposed to be, how they're supposed to behave, and these sorts of things. And we end up creating our own, a new law, like the Galatians had done, and we end up missing it. You know, we end up missing out on the life of walking with Christ in relationship with Him, in His love, and experiencing that on a daily basis. And the freedom that comes from that, you know. At the same time, this is not talking about creating simple churches where all people do sit around on a couch and drink coffee and just talk and nothing.
Play guitars,
maybe or not. And there's no life, you know. So I'm not talking about that. And I'm not talking about creating a bunch of rules for people to follow. So what am I talking about? That's what I'm trying to figure out here, Tom.
I have no clue.
But I want to share this scripture with you, and I want to get your thoughts on this. And okay. and this was shared at, I can't remember if this was shared at the conference or maybe in something else I read. Jesus, right before He goes to the cross, He's given His upper room discourse, and he says something, and now I'm going to read this to you in the message, and you may have your own views about the message. We may not want to create a whole doctrine or thought about, you know, but I like the message. I like sometimes
a lot of people like the message.
I like reading it because it does cause me to think, maybe see things in a little different way. But I just, to me, this was brought to my attention. And, man, I was like, that is so true. That is a good, interesting thought, because I'm not sure that I generally picture Jesus as the kind of person that would say something like this. But in Luke 12, all right, he's talking to the disciples. Well, he's saying a lot to them here. You know, he's getting ready to, he's talking about, let me see here. Okay, so he's talking about, don't fuss about what's on the table at meal times, or if the clothes in your closet are in fashion. This is Luke 12, verses 22 through 24. There's far more to your inner life than the food you put in your stomach, or your outer appearance and the clothes you hang on your body. He's addressing rules, is he not? You know, he's addressing, there was certain ideas about for the church, what they were to eat, what they were to drink, kind of what they were to wear. There was this idea of being a good Christian. What's acceptable, what's not acceptable. There was folks that had come up with some ideas about this. And so he addresses this. And what he says in verse 29, again, this is the message. But I just think, man, this is like not what most people would ever think of Jesus saying. He says, what I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, mm-hmm. not be so preoccupied with getting so you can respond to God's giving. First off, and I think it was, Wayne had mentioned this in one of the podcasts or one of the things we'd got talking about at the conference. But, you know, what about Jesus saying, what I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax? Like, okay. Has anyone ever thought of Jesus saying that to people? Like, can you picture Jesus saying
chill
that?
Out.
Like, most, I think, you know, and a lot of the calls I get, a lot of the conversations we have, it's like, man, it's like, is Jesus really trying to get them to relax? Like, that sounds pretty cool. Like, that sounds pretty good. Like, do we need to just take a big chill pill? Is that what Jesus is saying here?
Yeah.
About a lot of the things that we get bent out of shape about.
Yeah.
And I love the way he puts it. He says, not be so preoccupied with getting so you can respond to God's giving. He says, people who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things. But you know both God and how he works. Steep yourself in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Don't be afraid of missing out. You're my dearest friends. The Father wants to give you the very kingdom itself.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think?
Well, I have two thoughts. One is, he could be talking about, you know, customs and feasts and things like that. I really think the more simple way to translate that is, you know, people are worried about their next meal, literally. And he's saying, chill out. I got you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the birds don't worry about where their next meal is, you
yep.
shouldn't either. There is a passage later, I think Paul talks about it. He says, you know, you guys are talking about these stupid things like, which feast should I do and when and stuff like that. These things are not important. What's important is, and it reflects this, seek first God's kingdom. You know,
mm-hmm.
center on Christ. Don't center on the rituals about Christ. Those are far less important than the actual relationship that you have with the God of the universe because of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I get it. Jesus is saying, chill out.
Yeah.
You know, embrace me, enjoy me, and then all these things are going to fall into place.
Yeah.
You're going to know when to sit on the couch and relax, and then you're going to know when to get up off that couch and go do something.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be because you're trying to win his love. You know, this is like part two of the previous podcast we did.
Yeah.
So it's not your motivation for doing good works is because you're chilled. You're chill. You know? Yeah.
But why is that so hard? Why does it seem like why are people can get why is it that people can get so worked up about these things, like whether it be, you know, worry. It's worry. It's worry or fear. Maybe fear is at the base of the worry. Like we're afraid that we're not doing it right. We're afraid that, you know, if we don't go to this kind of church, then it's not going to work out. Like, you know, or we're afraid if we don't, you know, read this version of the Bible, then like, oh, something's gonna go wrong, or like we're gonna miss out, or God's gonna be, you know, upset, or whatever. Like we're not gonna experience the, you know, or whatever it is. Like, why is that? Why do you think that it seems like so many people get sucked into that? You don't sense a lightness, and you don't sense a freedom, and you don't sense, and there's just this, and I even sense it myself. There's just this gravitational pull to be anxious about following Jesus, it's almost like
we're following in the right way.
Following the right way, and that's why I think it is so interesting that because it's so hard. Like when people, I think the topic of like following Jesus comes up, like that doesn't seem like something that you would relax about. That seems like something we should be very like for most people. It's like, oh my gosh, like I'm not doing enough, or I'm not this, or man, I don't know, I'm probably falling, man, like God's probably, you know, it's like anxious, there's anxiety involved, like, I think, in the pursuit of following Christ in most people's lives, I think. I could be wrong. I mean, there are a lot of folks. I sense it.
One of the things to realize is God sets the bar impossibly high. It's impossible to reach that bar because his bar is perfection. We're never going to get there. So the moment we realize that and we surrender to that, it's like, okay, I'm never going to be perfect. But realize that it's okay because Christ died for my imperfection and I can chill in Christ. I don't have to try to be perfect. I just have to chill in Christ. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to chill, you know, all the time. That means I'm going
to... You sit around and eat potato chips on a couch?
No. Potato chips for Christ, no. But it does mean that the motivation, the impetus... Yeah, this is definitely going to be part two. The impetus is, like, I want to serve my Savior. It's not like I want my God to save me, so I got to do the right things. But I want to serve my Savior who loves me more than I can imagine. And another reason, though, and especially you were talking about the Galatians, part of their thing was, you know, they heard the gospel, they embraced the gospel, and then these Jews came along later when Paul wasn't looking and said, yeah, but you still got to do everything a Jew needs to do. So sometimes we do things and we get caught up in this Christian life because of our peers. So
I was thinking about, you know, in this passage, he says, you know, it's so interesting. He says, but you know both God and how he works.
Mm-hmm.
And the thought occurred to me, it's like, I think that when we don't know God and how he works, then we're going to be anxious about these things. You know, it's like if we really truly know God, and that sort of does go back to what we talked about, like we know his love, like we know him as that loving father that runs off the porch to embrace the rebellious child that ran away and squandered possessions. And we also know him as the father that loved the son in the house who didn't seem to really love him back much either, but yet followed all the rules. But yet he said, what do you mean? Like, everything I have is yours, you know? Like, you know, like when we don't know him as that God that is love, then I think there's just a lot of anxiety. It gets wrapped up in following God, doing the right thing, perform, you know, all that stuff kind of comes in. And I think, you know, we were talking, and it was a while back about how, I think this is so true. Like, you've probably seen this in your house church. Like, we've seen when you have a group of people that are coming together who know God and know how He works and are living this out and are steeping themselves in, like, what does He say? Steep yourselves in God reality, God initiative, God provisions, and you'll find your everyday human concerns will be met. You know, I think a lot of times people come into the church, and when we're not steeping ourselves in those things, we start looking for other people to meet our needs. We start looking for whether they be emotional needs or spiritual needs, mental, physical, whatever it may be. And so when that happens, if I'm coming into your fellowship or into the body of Christ and I'm not steeped in God reality, I don't know God and I don't know how He works, then I'm coming there looking for this group, not God, to meet my needs. And I have expectations for them to perform in a certain way. Well, why don't we sing songs? I always enjoy music being sung, so I'm coming here to hear singing. Or, I really wish that you would talk about these sorts of things because this is the kind of stuff that I think real preaching is supposed to look like. Or, you know, we really should be serving the poor. Like, I'm not seeing that this group is doing that. And, you know, rather than, like, knowing that man, like, I'm coming here looking for this group, for these people to fulfill something in me that only God can do. Mm-hmm. And whenever we're not, we're tense, we're relaxed. It's like I'm evaluating, I'm grading these people on their performance, and they're not measuring up. They're not, and man, that is not relax. That is, I think, to those folks, Jesus says, relax. You know, like, man, like, don't be worried about getting so much that you miss out on God's giving. Like, He's trying to give, and steep yourself in Him and who He is and how He works. And man, when you're around people like that, though, who are not coming looking for you or the group or the house church to meet their needs, but they're looking to God to meet those needs, there's such a joy in that.
You want to be around those
people. There's a freedom, and there's a, you know, and people want to, and people end up helping and giving and, you know, meeting God, you know, they're open. It's just like, man, I'm so much more open, man, to the Lord, and maybe I shouldn't be, but I mean, if there's like a needy family in my midst, whether they're in their house church or just on my street or wherever, there's somebody in need, like, and they're not begging for money, like, it seems like I'm much more sensitive to wanting to give, you know? That may be a fault in me, but when you see people there, I'm like, man, like, these folks, they're dependent on God for everything. They're not coming here with the expectation that we're going to all hand something out or give them something or do something to meet their needs. Man, it just makes me want to just give. It makes my heart goes out. You know, it's like, man, these folks, they love the Lord. They're following Him. And, you know, again, maybe that's a poor reflection on me because I know there's definitely been plenty of times when I know the Lord's asked me to give to the most egregious people that, you know, your flesh does not want to help, but you know, yeah, the Lord wants you to.
Yeah.
But I think there's just something to the body of Christ, like when we're steeped in this reality of who God is and how He works, that we can relax about a lot of the things that tend, and the thought of, for I think a lot of you, I look out this window and I think about all the people working all around us, driving to and fro, like a Jesus that says, I'm trying to get you to relax, I think is a breath of fresh air and something that most people in the world looking at the church from outside think, man, if I were to join that church or become a Christian, that would involve anything but relaxation.
Right. Yeah,
but chilling.
That's unfortunate. I want to read you something that's in the same chapter you just read. It's a little bit earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It's also Jesus talking, chapter 4. And I'm not...
Verse 4 or chapter?
I mean, I'm sorry. Chapter 12, starting in verse 4. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. So we're kind of talking about people like that, people that, mm-hmm, can make our life miserable because, mm-hmm, they're putting pressure on us, you know, or whatever. Or they can even persecute us, even kill us. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has the authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. So, that's kind of anti-chill, but hang with me.
Yeah.
Hang with me because it gets better. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies, yet not one of them is forgotten by God? Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. So again, he's saying, yeah, don't fear the wrong people. Fear me, but you can't imagine how much I love you. I know everything about you. I created you. I know everything about you. I died for you. Then, you know, accept me and mm-hmm. and live in my love. Chill.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely those tensions there. And again, I'm not saying I got all that sorted out, but I think, you know, maybe that would be part three of this podcast.
Yeah.
Because there'd be a lot I could say there or think about. But
well, you start out talking about before the cross and after the cross. I think it's only at the cross that we can chill. It's only because of the cross we can chill. We cannot chill for any other reason. The cross is our rest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Bible talks about, especially in Hebrews, the rest of God, the finding God's rest. That's the only way to find it. We can't work for it. We can't, you know, inherit it. We accept it.
Yeah, yeah. So. Yeah, it's just a great chapter, and I was sharing with you, I mean, I've been kind of camping out in this this last time here with Jesus. But, you know, he says, you know, too, he goes on and talks about in the same chapter, you know, he's saying, man, don't even worry about what you're going to say. Like, man, the Holy Spirit's going to give you words at that time, what you should say. I mean, I just think about that as it relates to the Christian life. Like, most of us, man, if we were to think, if we just think about being called on by God to speak on his behalf, like, there's a lot of anxiety involved in that. Like, where does that come from? Like, does it, you know, like, God's saying, don't worry about that. I'm going to give you the words to speak at that time. You know, like, but most of us are paralyzed the thought of God using us to give witness or testimony or to share our faith or to share the good news because we're so worried that we're going to mess that up or we're not going to perform right or we're going to say the wrong things. Like, Jesus says, hey, don't even worry about that. Like, I'm going to give you the words, you know. But again, that's to the people who know God and how he works. You know, if you know God and you know how he works, like, you know, like, well, of course, well, God will give me the words to speak. Man, I've experienced him doing that. I know that's the kind of God he is. Like, he can give me the words to speak. He can relate to me that way. And I don't have to be all anxious about it, stressed out about what I'm going to share at Simple Church on Sunday, because I know the Lord's going to give me the words about that. I'm going to spend time with him and listen and I know he'll give me those words. I don't know what they are right now, but I know that day will come. It may be later tonight, it may be tomorrow, maybe when I get there. But I'm going to listen for his voice. I'm going to know he's going to give me the words to speak. A little different context there, but still, the idea that we don't even have to worry about what we're going to say, you know, I think is a really encouraging thing.
And now, Acting Out. Acting Out is the segment of our show when we look at the book of Acts in the Bible and find lessons from the early church. In this brief segment, we ask ourselves, if the first century church turned the world upside down then, what could the church today do equally well in the 21st century? From Acts chapter 9, even the worst person can be saved. Saul was a terrible, evil person. What kind of person would drag a family from their home in the middle of the night and lock them up in prison just because they followed Jesus? What kind of person would oversee their execution? What kind of person would condone the public stoning of an innocent man? Here, you want to throw rocks at that man and kill him? Let me hold your coat. What kind of evil man is not content just cleaning up those pesky Christians in his own town, but insist on traveling to the next state to drag the Christians there to prison? Saul's whole ambition was to destroy the Christian faith in its infancy. It was a mission he applied himself to with great zeal. Every Christian in the known world knew of his reputation and feared him. Saul, later Paul, wasn't kidding when he referred to himself as the foremost of sinners, 1 Timothy 1:15. You know the scriptures don't mention this, but I would be willing to bet that some Christian in Jerusalem, perhaps someone languishing in prison, or maybe somebody in Damascus waiting for their door to be smashed in before being arrested, I'll bet that somebody was praying for Saul. Not just that God would protect his family from Saul's persecution, but that God would change Saul. I'll bet somebody was praying that Saul would stop this destruction and instead start to follow Jesus. I'll bet somebody was praying for Saul's salvation. I think I would win that bet. In heaven, I'm going to find that someone who prayed for Saul's conversion, and I'm going to shake that person's hand. Well, Saul did find the Lord on the way to Damascus. Or should I say, the Lord found Saul. In any case, once the two met, Saul was forever a follower of the one whom he persecuted. Saul, who changed his name to Paul, became the most influential apostle that ever lived. He went from being the foremost sinner to being the greatest theologian and missionary ever. That's how God works. Even the worst person can find Jesus. God's grace is limitless. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Who's the most terrible, evil, destructive person you can think of? Pray for that person. If God can save Saul, he can save anyone. Anyone. And not only can God save anyone, he can also make that person a powerful influencer for Jesus. Just like Paul. Let's pray for our enemies as we turn the world upside down.
Well, hey, thanks for joining us, and I hope this conversation, you can continue having it with your friends, maybe the folks in your simple church. We'd love to hear from you. What are your thoughts about this? Are we off base, man? What are we getting wrong here? What are we missing? And we'd love to hear from you about it. Keepitsimplepodcast.com. You can get a hold of us there. Also, you can get a hold of me at simplechurchalliance.com. We'd love to hear from you. Don't forget to, leave a comment, review on iTunes. That helps folks find us that might be out there looking for these kinds of discussions. Thanks for joining us.
And don't forget to chill. We'll see you next time.
All right.
Thanks for listening to Keep It Simple. If you've enjoyed this podcast, leave us a comment at keepitsimplepodcast.com. Or find us on iTunes or Facebook. We welcome your feedback, your ratings, your questions, or comments.